Well, Joshua chapter 2, if you'd like to turn there. Joshua chapter 2, continuing the series in conquering Canaan. If you can remember from last time, if you were here, in Joshua chapter 1, the Lord gave his commandment to Joshua to arise and go into the land of promise. And the Lord gave him some promises before he went, telling him that everywhere he soul trod, well, then he would give him that land. He told him that he would not forsake him and that he would give him victory. And he also gave him the strategy, what he required from Joshua, and that was to delight himself in the Word of God. That's what God wanted from Joshua, and then the Lord would do the rest for him. After receiving this, we're told that Joshua gathered the people together and he said to his special men, go out throughout all the Israel and tell them that in 3 days we're going to cross over the land, cross over Jordan and go into the land of promise. And it was during these 3 days when they were getting themselves ready that Joshua decided to send some scouts out into the land, and particularly Jericho, just to make sure everything was ready for them. And that's what we find in Joshua chapter 2. And tonight we're going to look at what took place in Joshua chapter 2, and then also at the end want to just look at some New Testament principles and teachings for ourselves. So before we do that, let's commit the time to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you that these things are here for our learning. And Lord, we pray that you would be with us this evening. Encourage our hearts. Let your word be real to us. Let us give your word the respect that it deserves in giving it the attention that we should be. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we do discover in Joshua chapter 2, first of all, in verses 1 to 3, what I've called the spies are sent out. I'm trying to go with the letter S as much as I can, but it doesn't always fit. But the spies are sent, and that is found in verses 1 to 3. Now, we do read in verse 1, and Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land over Jericho, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And so Joshua sends out 2 spies. I'm not sure if he was meant to. We're not told that God instructs him to do this, but he does it nonetheless. You would think he would be a little bit nervous about sending spies out, particularly after what happened 40 years earlier. The spies didn't do a very good job. They didn't encourage the people very much at all. I find it interesting he doesn't send 12 this time, he only sends 2. Maybe he thinks 2 is a good number, because that's how many there were of good spies coming back last time. But we're told they went into Jericho and they went and lodged in Rahab, the harlot's house. Now, I do think it's very important to note that we should never doubt the moral conduct of these men. God's blessings certainly wouldn't have been upon them if they were there acting in any untoward manner. Some say, why did they go to a harlot's house? Well, I suspect they went to a place where it wasn't unusual for strangers to go. They didn't want to stand out, and so they went to somewhere where it was usual for people to go. But if you step back and you look at the entirety of the Word of God, we do discover God's wonderful sovereign hand at work. We're told in the book of James that out of the city it was full of unbelievers except one. There was one believer in that city. And that just so happened to be Rahab. She was the believer. And I don't believe it was of any coincidence that these spies just so happened to arrive at the door, at her door, and lodged in her house. Even though the spies weren't aware of what was taking place here, Rahab was very different to everybody else in that city, and the Lord knew it. And so God's sovereign hand was directing them to this lady of faith. And so we see God's wonderful hand at work, even at the beginning, unbeknownst to the spies. We also see the extent of God's wonderful grace at this time as well. He shows that His grace isn't limited. No one is too evil to enjoy His forgiveness. All who place their faith in Him can enjoy that grace. You see, Rahab was a sinner by birth. She was from a sinful nation, and she was a sinner by practice and occupation as well. And so every bit about her was sinful. And I would suggest that even the people within this sinful nation considered her a wicked and sinful person as well. But God saw her faith and showed mercy to her and sent these men to her house so she could hear that good news of salvation. But we see here that the men hadn't been there even a day before news got back to the king. It says there in verse 2, "And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." Now, either they weren't very sneaky spies, all right, or there was a very good intelligence system going on there at Jericho. I'm not sure if they were just blasé about it, or they knew. You know, there were no surveillance cameras at the gates at Jericho, but I'm sure there were people surveying the people coming in and out. But even by the end of the night, the very first day that they were there, the king got news that there were people, men from Israel, spying out the land. So he knew where they were from, who they were, and what they were doing there. Very good intelligence system. I only wish our country had a similar intelligence system. A lot more untoward people wouldn't be getting in. But we see here in verse 3 that the king wants them to be surrendered. It says in verse 3, "And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." And so the king sends men to Rahab, tells them that we know the spies are there and we want you to give them up. Now what we read in verses 4 to 7 is what I've called Rahab's secret. Let's read it. First of all, it says there in verse 4, "And the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass, about the time of shutting the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way of Jordan unto the fords, and as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. So, Rahab had some stalks of flax up on the top of the roof. I read how they would soak these to soften them up and to separate the fibers, and then they would stick them out on top to sun them and get them ready to become linen cloth. And so she was also doing that and had some of them up there. And apparently, she had some there and she told the spies to hide under them. For me, I'm thinking if I'm searching for people, that'll be the first place I look. Here's a bunch of stalks lying up the top. I'll go and look under and see if they're there. But apparently they didn't look, or they certainly didn't find them. And there's no doubt that Rahab told them a lie. She said, "Oh, I don't know where they are. They just were here quickly and then they went off and they've taken off out the gates. You should hurry up and go get them." But what is needed to be taken note of here, and this is important to the whole story of Rahab, and that is, while she had these spies of Israel, whom she knew who they were and why they were there, when she heard that knock on the door, and she knew it was the soldiers of the king, she had a very important decision to make right then and there. And that is, who did she fear the most And who was she going to trust? That's what it came down to right then and there. Did she fear the soldiers and the king and what could happen to her if she got caught? And fearing them the most, say, yep, they're here, they're up there on the top, just go get them. And then trust that those walls of Jericho are going to be strong enough to protect her from Israel and the God of Israel. Is that what she was going to do? Fear the king and trust in the walls of Jericho? That was one decision she had to make. Or would she fear Jehovah and trust that he could keep her safe? They were the two decisions that she had to make. And when we finally jump into the New Testament, we see that this was the decision. This was where her faith was seen. And so we see here that the faith of Rahab is now being revealed by her actions. It affected how she responded at this very moment. And I don't think this was a whim. I don't think this was, oh, I don't know, what will I decide? This is something she had concluded well before these men had even arrived. This was just revealing the faith that was there. And so, she chose to trust the God of Israel and fear him and not fear the king and trust the walls of Jericho. And then we see in verses 8 to 14 how Jericho is scared. Once the soldiers have been sent on a wild goose chase, Rahab goes up onto the roof and tells them that they're right. And in her conversation with these men, she reveals her heart, but she also reveals the heart and the mind of everyone else in the city. And this is very exciting because what we see here is that God had gone before Israel well before they even got there. And that's a good thing to keep in mind. I don't know if you noticed this. But God's mighty work had already convinced the sinful woman of Jehovah's greatness and her need for mercy. That's the first thing. Also, that very same greatness of God had also brought terror and fear to an entire city of unbelievers. You see, God had been at work well before Israel had even approached Jericho. We read there in verse 9. This is the conversation she has. She said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. Wow, she knew that. And that your terror is fallen upon us. And that all the inhabitants of this of the land faint because of you. And so she says, I know, not I think, but I know that God has given you this land. I know that. She also says, I know that God's terror has fallen upon everyone. Now, why were the people terrified? Why did she know that God had given them the land? Well, we see this in verses 10 and 11. It says, for we have heard how the Lord, that's Jehovah, dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did under the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. And so she first of all says, we heard what your God did to the Egyptians when he dried up the Red Sea and then destroyed the Egyptians there. We heard of that. Now let's remember, that's 40 years, over 40 years ago. And it's still resonating in their hearts and their mind. They are still scared. They still know what he did to the Egyptians and what he did with the Red Sea. And it brought fear and terror to them. And so, and now they hear how at the end of the 40 years, just over Jordan, how they had destroyed two kings of the Amorites and utterly destroyed them. And so that fear is even increasing. They were terrified of what they did with the Red Sea, and now they hear and see that they're getting closer. And so this city had heard about Jehovah for over 40 years. and they were terrified. You know, it's good to note, I won't read it, but in Exodus 15, when they had just got through the Red Sea, it says that Moses and the children of Israel sung a song unto Jehovah. And it goes like this, some of it. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of thine arm. They shall be still as a stone. Moses prophesied that the greatness of God will spread throughout the land and fear and terror will come upon them. And you know, only a few weeks later they were camped at Mount Sinai, and Moses went up on the top of Mount Sinai, and the Lord gave him the law, and that was when the children of Israel disobeyed the Lord with the golden calf, and the Lord was going to destroy Israel. And Moses was trying to convince the Lord not to do it. And in his convincing, or his argument, Moses says this, listen to it. Now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, da 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 da. But here Moses is saying, everyone that's heard your fame, all these nations will wonder, why couldn't you save them? And so we see within the space of only a month, the fame of Jehovah had spread throughout these Gentile nations, and Jericho had heard very quickly. And now, 40 years later, here we have Rahab saying, we've heard of what your God did at the Red Sea. It's a scary, terrifying thing. That's 40 years ago. That's something that happens, around about 1970. You know, and they're still, it's like us still being afraid of that. That's how great it was. And now the children of Israel are getting closer. They hear how they destroyed two cities, two nations of the Amorites. And they're just over Jordan. And that nation of Israel and their God is getting closer. And it was having a very big effect on that city. And you know, the presence of God can affect people one or two ways. To the rebel, it brings fear and terror. To the humble, it brings comfort. And we see this take place in both the people in this city of Jericho. When it came to the majority, the unbelievers, it brought terror. To this one who had faith in Jehovah, she was starting to seek mercy and forgiveness from him. Ultimately, it brought comfort. And so, this is what we see about Rahab so far. We see that she feared God more than her own king. We see that she trusted her Jehovah more than the city walls. And we also see that she believed that he was the God of heaven and earth. All right? And she was wanting to trust him. And so her faith is being expanded even more. And so we see that God had gone before the children of Israel, well before they even got to Jericho. And that's something good for us to keep in mind. You know, when we come across people that we've never met before, we should remember that for most of them, God has already been there well before we got there. You know, when we go to a new job and we meet new people, or when we go or come across people through various circumstances in the community, we can be sure that with most of them, God has already been at work in them. For a lot of them, they've been to Sunday school or youth group when they were little. Think of the hundreds, and I can literally say hundreds of young people that have been through our one-way club. Some have been for 1 week, some for a month, some for 6 months, but they hear the Word of God, they hear the Gospel, and then for a lot of them, they're just gone. But there will be someone that comes along when they're in their 20s or 30s, and they think this person's never heard of the Gospel, know nothing about God, but little do they know that God has been at work in their life for years. And so when we come across someone, the Lord may have been at work when they were young. They may have had an uncle or an aunt or a friend or a work friend that's a Christian. They may have had a track and they read that track and it's been at work in them. And they have either been hardening their heart to the things of God, like many in Jericho were, or they have been softening their heart to the things of God, like Rahab was. And I remember when I was running the youth group up in Coffs Harbour, a girl who was in year 11 or 12 turned up. She'd come for a couple of weeks, and then I preached a message on tithing. I didn't realise she was coming. And afterwards, she wanted to get saved on tithing. All right? And I was perplexed. How could anyone want to get saved when they hear a message on tithing? All right? I later find out that when she was in year 7 at Scripture in high school, that a Scripture teacher gave her a Bible. She won it being the best student in the class. And she had kept that Bible and she had read it regularly, and she had increased in her knowledge of God and a desire to know Him. And it wasn't until she had come for those first few weeks she had found what she had been looking for. Had nothing to do with my message, had nothing to do with tithing. It had everything to do with that Scripture teacher giving her that Bible and then God being at work in her. God had gone before me for years. And that young lady trusted the Lord as her Saviour. And so just because someone we have met, it may be the first time for us, that doesn't mean that they are strangers to the Lord. He's known them for eternity, and He has been revealing Himself either through creation, either through His Word one way or another, or either through His children, how He has sent some to plant the seed and some to water and so on. And they have been either hardening their heart or they have been rebelling. And the wonderful thing is that just as the Lord led those spies to the one person in that city that had faith and was soft to the things of God, so too in His sovereign hand He is able to lead us to those people who are searching and who have been soft to the things of God as well. The only thing we need to be aware of is we need to be willing to speak when the Holy Spirit prompts us to speak, so they can hear that news. And so, we see here that Rahab knew Jehovah's power, and her fear caused her to seek safety. She knew there was a judgment coming. She said, "I know that the Lord has given you this land." She knew that God had given Israel this land. And instead of fighting against God by saying, "I know God's given you this land, I know I've got the spies, and so, hey, come in, open the door, the spies are here, take them away," and try and fight against God and trust those walls are going to be strong enough to protect her, she surrendered to the Lord instead. And we read this in 12, verses 12 to 19 of chapter 2. "Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." And the man answered her, "Our life for yours. If ye utter not this, our business, and it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, "Get you to the mountains, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way." And the men said unto her, "We will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's house home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him." And so she lowers them down to safety by a scarlet cord, a red cord. And she's told to put that red cord in the window and that will be a signal to them where she is and the house to protect. And you know, there are two wonderful pictures I see from that scarlet cord. One is probably the most obvious and the one mainly used, and that is scarlet, being a picture of red, can be a wonderful picture of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood protected Rahab from the judgment of God. While she remained in the house, protected by that scarlet cord, she was safe from the judgment of God. Very similar to how the Israelites were to put the blood on the doorposts of the house, and all those inside that house, they would be protected from the judgment of God while they remain in the house and that blood of the Lamb is upon them. And everyone that stayed in the house was kept safe by that scarlet cord. And brethren, that's a very wonderful picture for us. We are kept safe and protected by from the wrath of God by the scarlet cord or the shed blood of our Saviour. But there's another picture that some may not consider. Over in Isaiah it says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow." Sometimes sins are referred to as scarlet. And Rahab could have been putting that scarlet cord around the window saying, "I'm the sinner that needs help. I admit that I'm a sinner and I need protection, or I need to be saved." And what those men were doing were going to save her and all in that house. And so the scarlet could be just another simple picture of her sin. But regardless of what it stood for, this was what was going to protect her. And so here we see her actions again being put into practice by putting that scarlet cord around the window. And if we were to read on, we'll see how the spies were spared. We won't read it, but they went and hid in the mountains, and then they went back to Jeremiah and they brought a good report and said, "Surely the Lord has delivered us." But it is worth turning to chapter 6, verse 21. While we read this, try and picture a very full house. I reckon it would be a very jam-packed house. This is what I'm thinking. It says in verse 21, "And they utterly destroyed all that were in the city, both men and women, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, Go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with the fire and all that were therein. Only the silver and the gold and the vessels of the brass and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out the land." And so Rahab and her family were saved from the judgment of God that day. Now, having looked at that and the story, what I want us to do is turn over to the New Testament and see what this does for us as New Testament believers. Rahab is mentioned twice in the New Testament. The first one is over in Hebrews chapter 11, if you'd like to turn there, verse 31. Out of all the list of the men and women of faith, only two ladies are mentioned, Sarah and Rahab. And it says there in Hebrews 11, verse 31, it says, "By faith, or due to her faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace." Understand, everyone else didn't believe, but Rahab did. And what was the action that was seen? She hid the spies and didn't give them up. That's why it was so important. Now also in James, if you turn over to James chapter 2, here is describing how faith will produce actions. Without actions, there's no true faith. And here he uses Rahab's actions. And let's consider the actions of Rahab. It says, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. And so the Holy Spirit reveals to us that Rahab was a woman of faith, and this faith was seen through her actions. And so the two key words to describe Rahab are faith and actions. Faith and actions. Now let's consider her faith a little bit, since we already know the story. What did she believe? Well, she believed that God had given them the land. She believed that. She knew this place was gone. It was the Lord's. After hearing the greatness of God through the Red Sea, she believed that Jehovah, the God of Israel, was the true God of heaven and earth. She believed that too. She also believed that judgment was coming upon her city, and she also believed that Jehovah could save her. That's a lot of faith. She believed that He was the true God of heaven, that judgment was coming, and God, Jehovah, could save her. That's why she put that red cord in the window. That's why she spared those spies. She believed Jehovah could save her. Now, as well as that, what actions did this faith produce? Well, we know that she hid the spies and didn't give them up. That was the action that this faith produced. And so this faith produced loyalty to the Lord, and it produced loyalty to the Lord's people. She was loyal to these Israelites, more loyal to everyone else in Jericho, because these were the Lord's people. It produced loyalty to the Lord and His people. It also, her faith produced that action of putting that scarlet cord around the window. And so she was trusting in that and in God's mercy rather than trusting in the walls themselves to protect her and save her. Also, and this is something we often may not realize, is her faith caused her to stay in the house. Remember how they said, anyone that goes out of the house, their blood be upon them. They're going to die. But it's whoever's in the house that will be saved. But let's remember, the walls are falling down around her. That's what we got told. The walls came tumbling down. Her house is on the wall. Now for me, I'm thinking, whoa, all the walls are falling down. My house is on the wall. I think I'd be safer going somewhere else. But she trusted that God would not let her part of the wall fall. And she stayed in that house. And that's where the spies found her. That's faith. And sometimes faith is shown by just staying still and trusting that God is in control, even though everything else is falling down around you. Sometimes faith in action is simply just standing still while everything else is falling down. And then also we see that there is a house full of people there. All right? She went out and told others. She wasn't obviously, she had to keep it quiet, so she went quietly and told them, they're coming, they're going to take the land, they're going to destroy this city, but you can be saved if you come into my house. And that day, after the 7 days of walking around, they're in there jam-packed. It led her to speak and tell others as well. And so there is a lot of action when it came to Rahab. And so, brethren, there is a lot that we have in common with this lady Rahab. For starters, we are sinners just like she was. We are born sinners. We are Gentiles by birth. So our nation is a sinful nation. And we are sinners by practice. Just like Rahab. Also, we've admitted that we're a sinner. Just like she did, if that's putting that scarlet cord in the window is what it meant. We also are trusting that God can save us, and that blood, shed blood of Christ, can save us, and we're trusting in that more than trusting in our man-made efforts, like trusting in the wall of Jericho did with Rahab. we believe He can save us. And just like Rahab, though, when we're in that state, this faith should produce the same type of actions. What are the actions that were produced? She showed loyalty to the Lord and to the Lord's people. And that should be the case for us. We should have a loyalty to the Lord, but our love for the Lord should be seen in our love and our loyalty to each other. Let me ask you, is your faith being seen by your loyalty to fellow brethren? More than the lost, to the brethren of Christ, is it being seen by your loyalty to each other? What else? Even while the walls, everything seemed to be crumbling down around, she stayed in that house and trusted that God was in control. Do you find that the walls are tumbling down around you at the moment? Or when it does start to, are you willing to say, I'm going to trust that the Lord's in control. I'm not going to forsake Him. I'm not going to turn on Him. I'm not going to get angry with Him. I'm just going to trust that He is in control. That's faith in action. And as we see here, she had a house full of people. Does our faith of understanding that there's a coming judgment cause us to go and tell others that they need to get into that house, the house of God, where the scarlet cord of the blood of Christ can protect them? And so that's what it should be doing for us, brethren. We should be faithful to the Lord, evidenced by our love for each other. We should be trusting the Lord even when there are troubles in our life, and we should be telling others of Christ, just like Rahab did. And then we can be men and women of faith like her. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day. Thank You that, Lord, in this lady, that certainly, Lord, did not have a good start, was able to bring glory to Your name, not just through her faith, but the actions it produced. And I pray that these actions will be produced by our own faith in You as well. Amen.